Just wanted to let you guys know that on the description for this episode, at least on Anchor, that you can go down and click on Akeem Butler or Darwin Thompson's name and go straight to their YouTube highlights if you're interested in checking out some of their video. Welcome, Chiefs Kingdom, to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jason Thomas, and today I'm going to try to get the podcast outside. I enjoy recording outside, and I've been stuck at work lately during all the pretty days, and I haven't got a chance to get outside a lot. Sadly, today is not really a pretty day. I think there's a storm coming in. It's only about 50 degrees, and the wind's blowing a little bit, but it's better than nothing, right? So, if you didn't know, I am from Southwest Missouri. I'm about an hour east of Springfield, so I'm about 3.5 hours from St. Louis or Kansas City. That's how I ended up a Kansas City Chiefs fan and a St. Louis Cardinals fan. I'm not one of those people that hates on the Royals or hated on the Rams. I've always enjoyed watching the Royals and the Rams. The more sports, the better for me. And I could enjoy those team successes too. But I've always bled red with the Chiefs and Cardinals. So today I thought I'd just go over a couple bits of kind of Chiefs news and then talk about a couple of my draft crushes a little more. There's one that I've really got on my mind lately, and I'm excited about him. I'm excited for you guys to find out who he is, look him up. Odds are he probably won't be a Chief, but I think the guy's going to be a heck of a player in the National Football League. All right, so there were a couple kind of bits of Chiefs news this last week that stick out in my mind. One is that the Chiefs re-signed Anthony Sherman, so they will be bringing back the sausage at fullback. And I'm glad to see that, because I think he's been with the team quite a while, and he deserves to win with this team. And he's a heck of a special teams player, too. The other bit of news that really stuck out to me was that Justin Houston signed a contract with the Indianapolis Colts. 2 years in the $24 to $25 million range. I've seen it reported kind of as both $24 and $25 million, but that's kind of semantics. It hurts me a little bit that this was the contract that he signed. The reason why is because I feel like if the Chiefs did ask him to restructure, that he probably would have been restructuring right in this range, or maybe have even got a little bit more money. So that leads me to think that either A, the Chiefs didn't really seriously try to get him to restructure, or B, he just didn't want to be with the Chiefs and was willing to take a little bit less money to go somewhere else. And, you know, anybody that knows me knows Houston is one of my favorite all-time Chiefs. So, and both of those thoughts bother me a little bit. But I wish them luck with the Colts. Colts are putting together a heck of a team. This offseason, the Colts and Browns have definitely looked like they've improved their team on paper anyway. The super teams generally don't work, so I'm a little bit leery of the Browns. But, both teams sure look to be trending upwards. Now on the Tyreek Hill front with the Chiefs, there really hasn't been any new news. It's all been kind of quiet. So, just kind of waiting. That's where we're all at. Find out if he's going to continue being a Chief or continue playing football, or if basically we go on as like nothing ever happened, because nothing did happen. I just don't really know. But it kind of leaves us in limbo. And that's why this first draft crush, I talked about a couple podcasts ago, but he's gaining more steam. Akeem Butler from Iowa State. I've been watching a lot of video on this guy, showing it to some of my buddies and stuff, and he's popping up all over Twitter now. I was kind of hoping that he would stay a little bit lower key as much as he could, and that people would keep talking about DK Metcalf and Marquise Brown and some of those guys, because as good of players as they are, I don't see how you can watch the tape on them and think that they're in the same level as Akeem Butler. at 6'6", 225, you know, speed in the 4.4s. He can jump. He's really good at getting his head around and, you know, finding the ball and leaping, catching it at its highest point. And you forget at his size that when he does catch the ball, A, either he runs away from everybody, or B, they can't bring him down, which is just, it's fun to watch. How many of his passes, when you watch his highlights and stuff, you know, look like 10 or 15 yard passes, and then he just turns and runs them into the end zone. Like, what? It's like every one of these is a touchdown, but that's kind of how it ends up. Now, one thing that's hard to tell, you know, with highlights, and you've got to watch a little more film, is how good he is with his releases off the line of scrimmage and how quick his hips are and his stutter steps. And he just loses corners off the line of scrimmage, which for somebody his size to have that kind of agility and, you know, be able to work it is just really special. He reminds me a little bit of A.J. Green, you know, with the height and kind of how he catches the ball. And, you know, I think his hands will continue to improve, hopefully to get to that A.J. Green level. But then he's also got more power, I believe, in his game than A.J. Green had. And that's just exciting. He also plays, you know, at Iowa State, he played in the X, Y, and Z roles on offense, so he can play out of the slot. He can play on either side. That seems to really fit what the Chiefs do. Plus, I just like the idea of a guy that, you know, Mahomes can just throw it up to, you know, especially not knowing what's going to happen with Tyreek. Mahomes and Tyreek had such a special bond where, you know, he could just wait for Tyreek to do something, create time, and then throw it. And he knew that there was going to be magic in that connection. And Butler, to me, is the same type of guy where I'm even double covered. He's going to have an area, I guess, of his catch radius that people just will not be able to defend. And Mahomes can find that spot. And I think that's special because, you know, if you take Tyreek away from Mahomes last season, I mean, I think Mahomes still has a great season. But some of those highlight reels and some of those comebacks sure get a lot harder without Tyreek. And then if you add Butler and nothing comes with the Tyreek Hill investigation, then you could keep Sammy next year too. Or you could, you know, feel comfortable letting him walk and kind of spending some money elsewhere. I just realized that I probably haven't talked about the Bashaud Breeland signing. It was probably after my last podcast. The Chiefs did sign Bashaud Breeland. They got him on a one-year, $5 million contract. The $5 million is, I think a lot of it is incentive-laden. So it's kind of, if he stays healthy and starts next season, that's what he'll get. But I'm pretty excited about that. I forgot he was a free agent, honestly, after he signed last year with the Packers. I just kind of thought, you know, his time with the Chiefs was over, even though he was never really here. But that type of deal for a corner as good as he is pretty exciting. He gets to reunite with Kendall Fuller. They've played together. They know each other well. And it sounds like, you know, he's a really good fit for this offense. I sure know Packers fans weren't happy to lose him on Twitter, it seemed like, and that's a good sign because that's not always the case with some of these players. They can get a lot of hate even if they're a good player, but they sure seem torn that Breeland's gone, and that gives the Chiefs kind of three solid corners going into next year. I believe Ward is going to be a solid corner. I do think that if you can upgrade on Ward through the draft or through a trade or free agency, you go ahead and do that because odds are Ward is going to get some playing time this year anyway. And, you know, you can kind of keep letting him develop. And if somebody gets injured, you got somebody who can fill in well. And then next year when we lose Breland and, you know, Fuller's getting closer to the end of his contract, you know, you've got some options with a good player in Ward. I'm still not sure quite what the Chiefs are going to do at free safety. They haven't really taken a look at Trey Boston, who's kind of the guy I've heard rumored to him, you know, even from last year, or at least heard talk about other fans and analysts thinking he'd be a good fit. But I saw a tweet, I believe it was Kent Swanson. He's with the Arrowhead Pride group, and he was kind of just put out there that last year he played for Dave Merritt in Arizona, which I had completely overlooked. So Dave Merritt had Trey Boston last year. So if he was somebody that he valued heavily, I think the Chiefs would already have him signed, because I don't think he's going to sign a giant contract or anything. So if the Chiefs aren't interested in him, then it probably has to do less with this play on the field and more with kind of his fit in the locker room and in the film room, I'm guessing. But that does kind of make sense. And maybe the Chiefs are just waiting to see how good of a deal they can get on one of these free safeties. But the Chiefs still have Armoni Watts. And part of me just thinks that they've got some confidence in him, that he'll be able to play and contribute quite a bit this year. Murray was not terrible in the free safety role. I think he's just kind of limited. He's the guy that you like to have on your team, but you don't necessarily want him playing. That's kind of how I feel about Murray. And then, you know, there's free safeties in the draft. I'm sure they're giving them their due diligence. That's just one area I've not looked at all on any of this draft stuff. And I don't want people to think that I'm some kind of like film analyst that goes through and watches a ton of video, things like that. I'm not. I generally hear things from friends, or, you know, somebody pops something up on Twitter, or there's a guy I follow named Matt Waldman. He does a Rookie Scouting Reports podcast. I think I heard him once on Locked On Chiefs a year or so ago. And I got to following him, got to listen to his podcast. And that's where I heard the name of this next draft crush that I have. Because once I heard Waldman talk about him, I got to kind of looking at his film. And I spent a couple nights just kind of watching stuff. And then showed it to a friend or two of mine that I kind of value their opinions. And man, I think they were just as stunned as I was to watch his film. So without further ado, my biggest draft crush from 2019 is definitely Darwin Thompson, the running back out of Utah State. He's only 5'7". I think he's around 200 pounds. But the guy is an absolute player. And I know that when you hear running back as a Chiefs fan, even me at first, I thought, man, we got Darwin Williams. Darwin Williams, there I go. We got Darrell Williams and Damian Williams. Sorry, excuse me. And we've got Carlos Hyde. Three capable backs that, you know, will do just fine in this 2019 season. And I completely believe they will. But at the same time, Darwin Thompson is probably going to be a fifth-round pick or later. That's kind of the grade he's been given by a lot of people, at least I've seen. And, you know, last year, Darrell Williams, that's kind of the area people thought he'd be drafted, and he ended up being a free agent after the draft because he wasn't drafted. And I've done a lot of kind of analytical work on the draft and looking back at drafts, how successful they were. That's just kind of one of my neat little hobbies that makes me a football fan and a dork. But if a team drafts one player who's successful and contributes steadily in the fifth to the seventh round, they've done really well. And this is a guy that's definitely going to contribute and make your team better. So if you're trying to find a defensive player at that point, the odds are you're not going to find a starter that late. unless you just strike gold. And it does happen occasionally, but I think the Chiefs would be a lot better off to look at this guy. Now, what makes Darwin Thompson special? Man, the guy, I know I'm going to get some slack for saying this, but you just got to go and watch his film on YouTube. Watch some of his highlights. He reminds me a bit of Kareem Hunt mixed with Tyreek Hill. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but you just got to watch the film. He's 5'7", so he's kind of got Hill's stature. He looks small, but the guy is so put together. One of the best parts of his game is his power. When he runs, he's kind of a power back. He definitely falls forward. People aren't going to hit him, and he's going to fall backwards. And I'm not talking about, the secondary. I'm saying when he hits defensive tackles, he falls forward. He knows how to make himself small, and he's extremely powerful. You look at his Twitter feed and what he lifts, it's just ridiculous, especially for a guy that really looks smaller than Tyreek Hill, even though I believe he's quite a bit heavier, and I have no doubt he's much stronger because he's a freak. You see some of his bench press reps and stuff on Twitter, and man, he's phenomenally strong. And then with his running, what kind of reminds me of Kareem is he's vicious. He's a vicious runner, but when he gets hit, it's never the first guy that brings him down. He gets hit, but he just kind of stays low and bounces to the side and keeps on going. And I've seen him push piles of 4 or 5 people by himself. He just keeps his leverage so well. And one thing that Kareem was really good at that I didn't really understand until I read more about it was he kept his legs very far apart so that when people came to tackle him low and to take out his legs, because with Kareem, that was the only way you were going to tackle him, they could only get one leg because they were far apart, and he never kept, his feet, how do I put that? You just rarely found him off balance because his feet were farther apart and he was keeping them on the ground so much that you weren't catching him on one leg with his other foot up in the air. And that's kind of part balance and part just, you can learn that somewhat. Part of it's just instinctual. But this guy does that so well. When he runs, his feet are farther apart. They barely get off the ground at all unless he wants to be doing the high knees, which he can do. Seen him leap over people. And then he's got that vicious power to just, if a guy in the secondary who's bigger than him thinks they're going to tackle him, it's a joke. He just trucks them. They have no chance. And he's got that quick burst like Hunt has, where it's like everybody else is standing still, and they just, that 10-yard burst, it's just like, dang, he's gone. I don't know. I'm sure his top-end speed doesn't touch Hill's. Sorry, I'm getting all excited here. But that initial 10 yards is right with Hill's, where they kick that second gear. And once he gets the lead on the people, he's fast enough. I'm sure he's in the 4.4 range that nobody's going to catch him from behind. You watch some of the film, and it's ridiculous because you see people taking angles on him like they would take on Hill, and then they don't even get close to him because they just didn't take a deep enough angle on him. And that is exciting because I look back at what the Chiefs did with, well, you can use Hill as one example, but he was kind of more of a running back in college, and they moved him out to receiver. And then DeAnthony Thomas was also the same way. A running back that they moved to receiver. Well, one thing about Thompson is he's a much better running back, in my opinion, than DeAnthony Thomas or Tyreek Hill were by a huge margin. I mean, this guy could be your first through third down back if you want him to be. And you know, if you can split that time with him, but he's definitely got value as a runner. But the really exciting thing to me is the few plays I've seen with him where he got out in space and they passed the ball to him. He's like a rocket. I mean, he catches the ball and then he's gone. He's got enough hip wiggle and agility that, you know, if people take one wrong step, they've got zero chance. So I think, you know, especially with Reed, he could have value as a rookie because you could kind of have teach him this slowly and have him do a little bit of what D'Anthony Thomas did early last year with some of those sweeps, some of those quick throws to the outside, just getting the ball in his hand. That's kind of one of the perks with him, as he is 5'7", and he does run low, and they can lose him. He's hard to find. And he's very skinny too for a power guy. And he's got a little bit of the Jamal Charles, you know, he knows when to turn his hips, and his upper body, and you know, his legs are always moving forward. He's not a guy who's small and quick and is running backwards and dancing and stuff. No, he gets the yards that are available. He just does some insane things while he's doing that. And so I really think as a receiver, if you get him out in space in the NFL, even NFL corners and safeties are just going to struggle like crazy tackling this guy. They aren't going to be able to do it with just one guy, very similar to the way Hunt was. And then, you know, with the fact that they can't tackle him, even in college, you can see guys thinking, because they know he's hard to tackle. And then he just turns on the jets and they've got no chance. And he's definitely fast enough to turn on the jets and pick up some insane yardage in the NFL. I'm not sure that he's a guy that's going to take it to the house every time. But Kareem Hunt ran a 4.6, and he had plenty of 40 and 50 yard plays. And this guy's top end speed is better than Hunt's. But yeah, the fact that Reed could use him kind of as a gimmick guy in his first year, even though I truly believe he's so much more than that. But because the offense is set, at least seems set at the moment, as long as Hill's back, it's just another explosive playmaker that you can make teams think about. And you could even see D'Anthony Thomas early last year. Some of the things Reed did with him, you could tell why he made the team. And honestly, when they broke camp last year, I had no idea why D'Anthony Thomas was on the team. And this Darwin Thompson can do everything D'Anthony Thomas does, and he's a much better running back. I know I probably missed some things. I don't know if I even made sense during some of that, because I get so excited about the guy. But if you watch his tape, just go to YouTube, type in Darwin Thompson. You can see his highlights. And it's hard not to get excited. And I watch these other running backs that people are high on. And, I mean, I see the ability there, but I don't see why he's getting overlooked outside of that he's 5'7". But these other backs don't have the... It's kind of like the whole Tyreek Hill thing. People thought he was too small to be your number one receiver. And it's just not true, because his athletic gifts are insane. And it's not just the fact that Hill has athletic gifts and Thompson has athletic gifts, but the fact that when you watch them play, they're able to use those gifts 100%. Their vision, their agility, you know, just their knowledge of the game, it's there. And they put all that together. Because, like, there are so many guys that have great combines. Chris Conley is one. He's a prime example for me. The guy's a good football player. You go back and look at his combine, and just his combine numbers, you think he's a top 10 or 20 receiver in the NFL now, easily. Because he's a top 10, maybe even a top 5 athlete as a receiver in the NFL. But you add all those physical traits together, and they're not all in his game. And the main reason is because, at least from what I can tell, and I've talked to different people about this. He's not incredibly quick. And he doesn't have incredibly quick feet or quick hips. And so it limits kind of what he could do, especially in the Chiefs scheme, where they expect the receivers to be able to do a lot of different things. And that's one reason why, I value Hakeem Butler much more than I value DK Metcalf. Because Butler, there's nothing you can't ask him to do. And Metcalf, when a team drafts him, he's a 3 or 4 route guy, I believe. He's not going to be able to do everything. So, a team that drafts him, and he might be insanely successful at this, but they're only going to ask him to do 2 or 3 different things probably on every single play. And he's going to have to physically dominate the corners that he's against, because they're going to have an advantage on him knowing that there's only so much he can do. Everything he's going to run is either going to be kind of a fly concept or a post concept. You aren't going to ask him to do a lot of double moves. You aren't going to ask him to cut and lose people quickly. You're going to ask him to start running and either run straight or run at a little bit of an angle. And that's DK Metcalf in a nutshell. You could always do, the quick wide receiver screens, things like that, get his big body moving. And, he's a valuable player. Don't think I'm sitting here saying that DK Metcalf is a bust. I'm just saying that somebody like a Butler puts so much more pressure on the defense because they can do anything. He can do what DK Metcalf does, and he can do things that, the slot receivers nowadays do. I was going to say a guy like Wes Welker, but honestly, slot receivers evolved so much even since Welker that's not entirely accurate. But say somebody like Jarvis Landry, you can ask him to run the shorter routes, and Butler, especially in the red zone, those quick feet and those hips lose people so quickly. He looks more almost like a Travis Kelce type of receiver the closer to the end zone you get. Plus, he can catch that fade route in the end zone that the Chiefs just really haven't had anybody capable of doing. I think that's one of the reasons they got Kelvin Benjamin at the end of the season, was to hopefully have somebody that could basically just come in and catch that pass. And the connection just never really worked, but that's a route Butler is extremely capable of catching. So if the Chiefs go into this draft and somehow we're able to get Butler in the first round and Thompson in the 5th round, I would be extremely excited. I know they need defense, and I know there's, a large contingent of people that believe they're going to take defense in the first round, me included. But if, the board fell right, and I think they've got a couple edges that they value pretty highly, if they're not able to get one of them, or, one of the top 2 corners in this draft, I feel like they would be better off taking Butler than any of the safeties or lesser edge guys or lesser corners. I know, the Chiefs almost made it to a Super Bowl and would have won a Super Bowl with just, kind of a bad to okay defense and that offense. Well, you've got to make sure that offense stays where it was. You can improve your defense, but you don't want to, slightly improve your defense and your offense slip a lot. The Chiefs' upcoming schedule this year, you never know how teams are going to be and injuries are going to play out, but man, their schedule is rough. The AFC West, just like last year, kind of got the hardest road this upcoming year. There aren't just a lot of easy games. There are a lot of games that if you don't go out and play smart football and do what you got to do, you're going to lose. And, I haven't started on any of my predictions for next year, but the Chiefs won't have room to play around and figure things out. They're going to have to come out playing strong football and put together a good season, or they're not going to make the playoffs, as crazy as that sounds. That's just the way football is. There are good teams with good players every year that don't make the playoffs. And they have easier schedules than the Chiefs. And part of that is that there are going to be teams that are not that great that get lucky breaks and have really easy schedules, like the Jaguars a couple seasons ago. And they made it to the playoffs and made some noise, even though they were not really one of the better teams in football. So all I'm saying is the Chiefs got to take care of business. If we want, I don't know if I should even use the word dynasty, but if we want to continue, going towards the playoffs every year and knowing that the Super Bowl is our main goal at the end of every season. Because with Alex Smith, it just felt like making the playoffs was the goal. And man, he was born to make the playoffs. He just wasn't born to go into the playoffs and win. And Mahomes just feels like a guy that should be at the highest stage of football every year. But, you've got to stay on track and make it to the playoffs first. I don't want fans, especially. I think it'll be with fans more than the team, but getting the big head and thinking that every year is yours is not really true unless you've got Bill Belichick as your head coach. I personally feel like Tom Brady is overrated. I think he's a very good quarterback. I think Bill Belichick is a top two or three coach of all time, probably the top coach of all time, with, a quarterback that's top 50 all time, and people would eat me alive for that. But that's just how I feel about it. You go back and look at the Super Bowl wins the Patriots had, and the majority of them were won by their defense, including this last season where they gave up 3 points to the Rams. And anybody can say what they want about Brady winning on that game, but they could have had a running back out there playing quarterback and just handing the ball off, and they would have had a shot to win that game the way the defense played. I know that was stupid to say, but that's probably not true, but Patriots fans drive me nuts talking about Tom Brady being better than Patrick Mahomes. Part of me just thinks they know that the end is coming and that Patrick Mahomes is the future, but that's probably a rant to start on another day. Right, guys? Have a good one and go Chiefs.